including outdoor tables, no more than 8 to a table, and all 6 feet apart. Biggie's will be open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday, as well as Sundays, and 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. Biggie's will be serving their full menu with all of your favorite daily specials.
Royal Banks of Missouri is all about convenience for you. Where else will you find extended drive-up hours until 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 2 p.m. on Saturday? You're busy, and now you have a bank with the flexibility your schedule needs. What was that about convenience? Sign up for Royal Banks of Missouri mobile banking system, and rates are down. Refinance your home mortgage. Finance that next vacation with a home equity line of credit, or take care of that new car loan, all with Royal Banks of Missouri. Check them out at royalbanksofmo.com.
It's tough keeping up with the evolving technology of today's business environment. GFI Digital has you covered, offering the latest in copiers, managed print, and customized IT solutions for every business need. At GFI Digital, we make technology simple.
At Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway, our mission is to provide our fans, racers, and sponsors with a first-class and up-close personal racing experience. This includes unprecedented access to drag strip, the oval, the road racing track, and a nationally sanctioned karting track, plus special events such as concerts and corporate functions for year-round activities. And it's all just 5 minutes from downtown. For more information, visit WWTRaceway.com or call 618-215-8888.
Every great success story starts with one brave decision. And if you're one of the millions of Americans with college credit but no degree, one brave decision is all that stands between you and the future you want. At Maryville University, we know returning to college takes courage, but your decision isn't really about going back to school. It's about moving forward. And we'll be with you every step of the way. Let's be brave together. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Don't mess with big box stores or unreliable delivery from out of state when it comes to the PPE that you need. Instead, work with Marco Bertarelli of family-owned local staple Bertarelli Cutlery and Supply. Masks, hand sanitizer, disposable gloves, thermoscanners, and more. Bertarelli has it all. They even cut plexiglass to your exact needs so your business can get back to serving the community. Contact Bertarelli Cutlery and Supply today by emailing Marco at BertarelliCo.com or calling 314-664-4005.
We are all more aware of what's in the air around us, and Hoff Heating and AC can provide peace of mind with their professionally installed air scrubbers. They are proven to destroy up to 99% of all surface contaminants in your home. The air scrubber greatly reduces dust while killing mold, germs, bacteria, and viruses. Learn more about air scrubbers and all their other services at HoffHeating.com and contact them today at 636-240-4633. That's 636-240-HOFF. Making your family's comfort our family's business.
Diana from Neustetter's Fine Jewelers here to remind you, we don't just offer the best pieces, we offer one of the last master hand engravers in our country. My father can create timeless, personal, and unforgettable pieces. Come by our showroom at the corner of Big Ben and Doherty Ferry or learn more online at wowdiamonds.com.
Patio's is opening its doors all football season this year, and with 41 brand new TVs and NFL Sunday Ticket across the board, you've got a view of every game. Follow your fantasy lineup, cheer on your favorite team, or just enjoy the best burger in town with $3 smash burgers during all the games. Patio's always provides free and safe parking, so you can confidently post up at a locally owned St. Louis establishment 5 nights a week. That's Patio's, 618 South 7th Street, right next to Busch Stadium. See you at kickoff.
Mellow 590. Yeah, welcome aboard. My name is Rampin' Ronnie Midnight. Thanks for being with us. Keep you company all night long. What's that, Danny?
You remember this smash? You remember?
I do, yeah.
Leo Cheers, yeah. The man in the red vest.
Man in the red vest, yeah.
Doing a little jazz.
If you ever still listen to those FM stations late at night.
Keep that music going. Like,
oh, yeah. My bad. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Keep it going.
British loser.
That's a fine, fine day.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's 3:28 a.m. And all you insomniacs out there, listen, glad you're with us tonight. Got a little Quincy Jones for you. Maybe not something you're as familiar with as... pull out of his other work. Hang on just a second. I'm going to sip some of my favorite midnight beverage.
While you're sipping some of your Ripple wine.
What's that, Danny?
Let me tell you something. I went to the blues bar the other night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Tell me about it, brother.
Oh, they got a great drink there. It's my favorite.
Who's this other cat?
2 a.m.
Who's this other cat talking?
My name's Grady.
Grady?
It's my favorite 2 a.m.
cocktail. Hold on, dude. Grady is not a name that's going to fly on this show.
How about Gravy?
Wait a minute.
Gravy's pretty good.
Gravy is good, and I mean in any form.
Yeah.
What's up, Gravy?
I got a little cocktail for my insomnia problem. I guess it's half champagne, and it's half Ripple. I call it Sham-Pipple.
Well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. We can use it.
How about Rip Pain?
Once again.
Rip Pain.
Welcome to...
Prediction Rip Pain.
Welcome to... KJZZ, your jazz headquarters, baby.
Hey, capture that and keep it. That's our audition tape.
Yeah,
for our next job.
I got you.
What's hilarious, all the listeners out there, is that Limey thought he was playing Hot Time Summer in the City. Back in my bag and girl, I'm pretty. And he played the wrong Summer in the City, and that's what we got, and that's what we turned it into.
But you see, this is the genius of this group. That was called improvisation. Yeah. Give ourselves a big hand. Yeah. We didn't know that song was coming.
That was the B-side to the theme from Taxi.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you've been introduced yet. You're not supposed to speak.
That's fine.
The other interesting radio to me, and still is to this day, is NPR. Because if you listen to NPR, here's I don't care what they talk about.
It's SNL used to do.
It's middays on the other station.
The whole day.
Okay, some stations it's all day. But SNL used to do some great skits with the two chicks who were on NPR, and that's when they did the sweaty balls thing. But even something that funny.
Oh.
And so you make these every holiday. Uh-huh. And that's the tone of every show. It's almost like they're in the library doing the show. If they're not careful, the librarian's going to say, shh.
Okay, we'll keep it down. You're listening to public radio, NPR. Yes.
On that note, after the show, I don't want to get into it today, but after the show, go read the story of why the general manager of the NPR radio station in St. Louis got fired yesterday.
Yesterday?
Now you have to tell
Tim Eby, or Jim Eby, whatever his name
is.
You
got to tell us now.
Yeah.
Why?
He put on salty muffins?
Apparently, Umsel... UMSL's campus is the home of where NPR is in St. Louis, and they've also taken over the operations of the NPR stations in Columbia, Missouri, which I used to work at, and Springfield and another city. The cliff notes are that there are a selection of workers at the St. Louis-based NPR station who are not Caucasian, and they bonded together and formed some type of grassroots group and appealed to the higher-ups at UMSL that it was a non-inclusive environment to work in.
Mm.
And they investigated, and they gassed them.
Really?
Yeah.
Non-Caucasian?
Mm-hmm.
What could they be?
Well, it's a potpourri. It's not just, you know, one. It's
some Asian.
It's
black, Hispanic, a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. Throw a couple Latins in there.
Yeah.
A couple of what?
I said throw a couple Latins in there.
You see what's happened? Even because we're talking about NPR, we all dropped it down a notch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We got a little quieter.
National Public Radio?
Yes, we are, Limey. And you are listening to National Public Radio. This is your National Public Radio station. 4:20. It is a Thursday. And it's a beautiful... And it is a... beautiful one. Would you not agree, Tim?
I would. Where do I send my donation?
I'm glad you asked that, because our listeners oftentimes don't know where or how they can support this brand of radio. Okay, I'm about to fall asleep. I'm putting myself to sleep.
I have to leave the studio.
When FM came on the air, FM radio meant easy, soft music. That was all that was on FM. Hmm. And then, remember, who came on the air in this town and completely shook that up? Keishi.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this FM station. Mm-hmm. That was Henry Mancini. And coming up next, Percy Faith and the orchestra. And then you go down to the other part of the dial and In a Gotta David. Yeah, that was great. But FM, and they used to make jokes years ago, but it sounds like FM, meaning boring, quiet, so, and then, of course, everything changed. Scott is in the house, as they say. I will do, I will invite you to change, I'm going to try to persuade you to change where you do your banking, and at the same time remind you that Saturday is the yard sale, 7 to 9 o'clock. And it's a good one. It has evolved into a completely different kind of yard sale, better than ever. Two hosts, but a week from Saturday, there's a substitute host, and his name is Limey Phillips.
Ooh.
He will be sitting in for Dan Strauss a week from Saturday. But this Saturday, you got Scott Sherman, and you have Dan Strauss, and they are your hosts, plural, for the yard sale. I mention it because it's sponsored. It has one sponsor and only one. First Community Credit Union. Now, they have a loan opportunity that I'm going to share with you. Not only do I want you to remember what I'm going to tell you about it, and you'll find out that all the terms and conditions are on their website, but I want you to pay attention to the fact that you have to apply no later than October 31st. After that, all bets are off. I'm sorry you missed out. Here's the deal. Use the equity in your house to borrow money. And the first year, the first full year, your interest rate is only 2.75% APR. And after that first year, it goes to 3.99. But that's a terrific rate. So that thing that you've been talking about, but you've been putting off, you know, finish off the basement or pay off car, pay off tuition, whatever. This would be a good way to do it at a great rate. And again, you need to apply before October 31st. The terms, the conditions, all the details are on the First Community Credit Union website. This is the place famous for its rates. That's why a lot of people end up banking there. I've done my banking there for 15 years and only there for 15 years. Find out more at their easy-to-navigate website, firstcommunity.com. A couple of smart people already on board.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law.
Sing it, Johnny.
Who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law?
One line open and only one line. If you call now, you will get that line. You don't mind holding for a little bit? You'll get some great advice, free of charge, from Scott Sherman, attorney at law. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Scott's brought to you by Window World. No, he's not. Everybody else is. Not Scott. Scott's brought to you by himself. I forgot. Ladies and gentlemen, sponsoring himself, Scott Sherman.
Thank you, Frank.
Scott, how are you?
Thank you, guys. Great. Glad
I'm so
to
used
be
to
here.
Window World sponsoring everything. I almost just, you know, gave you to them, too.
I endorse Window World myself because I have 23 Window World windows in my house.
Wow.
And that was long before I was affiliated with the show.
There you go.
And I'm very happy. Anybody ask me, I say get Window World windows. They're great.
Well, there you go, Window World. If you're listening, you just got a you do sponsor Scott today.
I'll sponsor them.
You didn't pay for it. There you go. Lines are all full. So what that means is when Scott is finished helping somebody and that person hangs up, you jump on, you start calling those two numbers, and hopefully you'll get right. And if not, you wait till the next caller is taken care of. So you ready to go?
Oh, yeah.
Let's start with Dan. I'm sorry. Dan, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, Dan. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Doing all right. Hey, I had a FSA account with a former employer, and I was let go, and there was about $700 in there. Where does that money go? Does that go to unclaimed property in Missouri, or what happened to that?
Oh, here we go. Here's one of the ones that I don't know the answer to exactly.
Okay.
But I don't think that they're allowed to keep it. So it should fall into the unclaimed property. then I'd be grasping at straws. But you got me on one that that stumped the band.
Way to start the show, Dan. Well,
thank
with
you very
he
much.
Doesn't, one of the few things he doesn't know
he gets,
about.
What fund was it?
An FSA
it was
account.
A flexible spending account. That's where you take money out of your free tax and set it aside for, like, you know, eyeglasses or dental work or something like that. And, yeah, I should know that.
Since you had money in it, you invested in it, I don't think that that's fair to revert that back to the employer. That'd be unjust enrichment.
And it came
I know it doesn't go back to the employer. I just don't know where it goes. There's, you know, like an administrator or trustee that
how long ago was this?
It was a couple of years ago. But this, I tried to get it out of there about 3 months after I left the employer, and the administrator said, nope, sorry. File a claim.
The IRS says that employers have the right to have a grace period of 2 to 2.5 months after you're terminated or relieved of employment, or you lose it. Otherwise, it has to be used by the end of the calendar year, or you lose it. That's from the IRS.
Okay. I tried to get it. Okay, all right, I got you. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Dan. Hey, look who's here, Tim Woodburn.
Hey, learn something.
Yeah,
starting to He even though he was not at that job, he could have used that probably
for 2.5 months
or until the end of the calendar year, depending on the company's policy, according to what I just read.
Okay,
that's still like to know what happened to it in case somebody used it that wasn't supposed to.
I would think Dan would be listening next week if you want to.
Oh, that's a project for me because he got me.
There's your homework assignment. Way to start the show off, Dan.
Yeah, look, I mean, that was a screwball.
One of the few things.
Not a person, but a question.
One of the few things Scott doesn't know about.
Yep.
Oh, a line is open because Dan is gone. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Dave is next. Dave, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott. How you doing?
Hey, good, Dave. How are you?
Not too bad. So I had talked to you, I guess it's been probably close to a year now, about the sanitary district here in Granite City that has a pipe running through my yard.
Yep.
They have still not fixed the pipe. My fence is still sinking into the yard. And a few weeks ago, I got a letter from them saying that they have an easement running through my property, and the following has been erected or is encroaching their easement, a chain link fence. And they say if they have to remove that fence, they are not going to replace it.
Mm, strong language. Tough talk.
Yeah, so
first of all, it's not like any governmental agency to wait a year to do anything. There's a shocker.
Oh, no. This fence has been there for 50 years.
Mm.
And this is the first notice you've ever gotten about this particular easement allegedly being encroached by your fence or this property's fence.
Yes.
Well, now you've got they've brought up the dispute over this whole area and what they've done to your land. So I wouldn't do anything about the fence, but it's time to talk to a real estate lawyer in Madison County. And because they may have damages that impact the value of your property, they may or may not have an easement. They just all of a sudden they've said that they do. Who knows? I mean, when did you purchase this real estate?
I bought the house 5 years ago.
When they were doing a title search, did this easement even come up in the search?
Not that I'm aware of.
It's a great question for whoever the title company and whoever the people involved in agenting your transaction. Because you would have been put on notice of that. They can't just come up with an easement. All of a sudden, we have an easement.
And the fence was already there, right? I mean, you said it's been there a long time.
Yeah, the fence has been here for probably 50 years when the house was built.
Yeah, that's a long time.
The pipe's also been there the same amount of time, but it seems that I only got the letter
because
when
you complained about
the city. Well, the mayor of the city came out and he was looking at the property, the damage to our properties because there's holes in the yard that just keep coming up. And they come out and fix them, and now they're fighting with the city and Metro East trying to determine who actually owns the property and who is going to do the fixing. Well, I told them before that this is what was sold to us. They were going to come in here, they were going to fix it, they were going to take the fence out and put a new fence up. Well, now that the mayor and the alderman and the city engineers have got into the middle of it, all of a sudden now I got this letter saying,
you got the finger pointing letter.
Yeah, exactly. We're not going to fix your fence.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, you owe us for the what you've done to our fence or our our easement. Sounds like a BS deal.
Yes.
If I was the mayor of whatever, I wouldn't come out and look at your fence. I'd feel like I was too busy, and then I'd fix your property because that's how he's going to get reelected. But but lawyerly, I would say this. There is a dispute as to who is responsible, if anyone, for damaging your property. That's one. And now, two, there has been an issue raised by the city about this alleged easement, which doesn't show up, at least when you purchased it 5 years ago, in any of the title searching. So we now have a heated dispute. And the way to do this is find a Madison County real estate lawyer, because this is Madison County, after all, we're talking about here. And
Yes, it is.
That doesn't mean it's crooked. It just means then everything else just looks strange if you look at it the Madison County way. So
right. And nobody else along this pipeline has received the letter.
Yes, of course. The easement starts and stops on your fence line. How convenient for the city of Granite City. One of the most beautiful cities in Madison County.
Is that true?
One of the most beautiful cities?
That's not, okay, maybe it's sarcastic. Okay.
Well, no, maybe you consider Madison County. So when you consider Madison County, it is one of the most beautiful cities.
Why is it called Granite City? Is there a lot of granite in the ground?
I think there was that when they were making coal or steel there, they were pulling a lot of rocks out of there. Probably were.
There actually used to be a company that made graniteware plates and bowls and cups.
Huh?
Okay. Years and years ago.
Who owns that pipe? Is that?
Well, that was what we kept hearing.
Said the police officer after he pulled the car over.
The Metro East Sanitary District said they owned it, and now they're fighting each other to determine who owns it. But I mean, I guess I've got the answer now because Mesda sent me the letter saying, "Hey, this is our property that you're encroaching." So now at least I know who to sue.
Do you have pictures and everything of the damage to your property?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
Send me an email, if you will, tomorrow.
You want to send me the pictures, too?
Yeah, send me whatever. I will forward it to my real estate lawyer people that are headquartered in Granite City. And if they don't have a conflict, I think they'd be interested in this case. And if not, we'll find you somebody else. But this is the big guy picking on the little guy, and I don't like that, no matter who it is. It's just wrong, and especially in Madison County. It seems sleazy.
Dave, do you have Scott's email address?
Law office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
This guy's on it.
Very good.
He is on it.
I'll have you person by before 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Okay. I will send it off to you, Scott. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for listening. Ladies and gentlemen, we have two lines open. Unheard of. Two lines open. You want help? You want free advice? You call these numbers right now. I don't know which one to tell you to call first. Just call 855-282-8255. Now we have one line open. Now we have no lines open. See, they know what to do. 314-821-0590. The Granite City question was one. Now what my mind is doing is now I want to know why everything is called whatever it is. Like Edwardsville. Who was Edwards? There had to be there's a reason streets are named what they're named. There's a reason towns are named what they're named. There must have been an Edwards. And then you start looking at all the other, give me another something.
I looked it up for Clayton, and Clayton was named after a farmer.
Mr. Clayton,
but he wasn't the wealthiest farmer in that part of St. Louis County. It was actually Mr. Hanley that the street is named for.
Ah,
but Mr. Clayton donated more money to build the city hall, so they named the town after Mr. Clayton.
Money talks.
Wow. Money screams.
So the answer to your question is, prior to 1818, or at least the early 1800s, when portions of Illinois weren't incorporated, they were owned by just landowners.
Mr. Edwards.
Remember the Oklahoma gold rush, rush where they put stakes and you would claim your plot based on the stakes. So there was a guy.
That porterhouse means that's my plot.
Exactly.
Put your stakes there. See what I did?
Exactly. I like that.
Stake humor.
So The man who owned the property that consists of Edwards, Illinois, was a guy named Thomas Kirkpatrick, and he just decided to go ahead and incorporate that area, and he just named it after his buddy, Ninian Edwards, who was a territorial governor in Illinois.
Better than Kirkpatricksville. Yeah, that would be exactly. A little tough to say.
Right.
Patricksville.
All right, let's go to Craig. Craig,
but to your point, I'm sure each municipality has its own goofy story.
Oh, sure.
Creve Coeur
is an Indian name.
Dupo. Who would name something Dupo?
Creve Coeur is French. It means broken heart, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Is that right?
City of the Broken Heart.
City of the Broken Heart. Isn't that? That's pretty romantic, isn't it? Craig is next. Craig, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Scott, how you doing?
Good, Craig. How are you?
Hey, Frank, AM and the PM.
Thank you, Craig.
Scott, I'll be quick. This isn't a hard one. I won't.
That's what she said.
hey, I have a. My neighbor came to me and said, "Hey, I want to tear down that fence right here on my line and put up my own fence, a privacy fence." And I said, "You can do whatever you want. I'm not going to pay for it, right? So now the pole, they put it up. They did it, and the poles are faced into their yard. Is that now their fence, and I don't have to worry about that thing anymore?"
Well, whose property is it on?
Well, except I live in the city, and you have a fence, neighbors on each side, so you have a fence. Now, a fence going one way, a fence on the other side. And my neighbor on my left side, the poles face his way. Well, the neighbor on my right side, the poles faced inwards to me. And I thought that was the one, if the poles face your way, you're responsible for the fence. But now that you put up the new fence, they put the poles the other way, and I'm wondering if I now own zero fence.
No, that's a new one. Never had this one before, Scott.
I don't know that it matters which way the poles are facing. It matters whose property it's on. So if they put up the fence on their side of the property line, that's their fence.
Well, isn't the property line just split right down? I don't know whose property line it is.
I would say this. They put it up. They're presumed to have done the
survey work
on it. It's their fence. So say that's it. It's their fence.
Yeah, what it was separated by a chain link fence, which was the fence. And I said,
that's
you're going to have to take that down, and I'm not paying for
anything.
And
any they did. Did they do that?
Yeah, which no problem. And
their
they
fence.
Paid for everything else. Okay, so it's their fence.
Their fence. Now, since they just put it up, if there's some strange, fence post facing rule that I didn't get that the city of St. Louis has, another strange place, I'll change my opinion. But I would say this: rest easy. Their fence.
Great.
Their fence. You got yourself a half of a fence
for nothing
for free. Yeah.
So even if it's their fence, and then it's a wood fence, correct?
It's a 8-foot privacy fence, and I'm like, I'm not that ugly. Why do you got to put that fence up so high?
No, but it's wood, right? Is it wood?
Yeah.
Composite
okay,
or
so
something.
Well, if it's not composite, you have to stain it generally. So are they going to come over and ask you if they can come over and stain theirs on your side, or are you supposed to stain it?
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to have to do
their
any
fence.
Work to it.
No, yeah, I'm a Scott. I'm a Scott. You don't have to do
if
anything.
If it looks good, you're the beneficiary of the fence. If it looks like crap, whoops, it's their fence.
And go tell them to go fix the fence.
I'd say your fence, you fix the
tell
fence.
Tell them to go pound sand.
Go fix your fence. Why don't you go fix your fence?
All right, thank you.
Right. You're welcome.
Thank you, Craig. It seems like that's the answer he was looking for.
Yeah.
That means the line's open because Craig just stepped aside. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Brian is next. Brian, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
How you doing, Scott?
Hey, Brian, how are you?
Good. I got an insurance question.
Yes, sir.
These are good. I love these.
My wife just got... I used to have our medical insurance through my employer, which I don't know more. So now we have it through my wife's employer. She just got a check from her employer because of, I don't know what they call it. Is it like an 80-20 deal where the insurance don't spend enough money or something, and they refund the money, and then the employer has to give split the money back or
like
something
a rebate.
Like that. Yeah. And she got like $600-$700 check. Well, my question is, now when I had insurance, I would get these letters every year saying that the insurance did not spend enough money and the money has to be returned, and your employer either has to refund it to you or like knock it off of what I had to pay for insurance. But that's never happened in the 15 years that I've worked there. I've never seen none of it, and none of it, you know, my insurance never got knocked out.
I've never even heard of this being done.
All of this is governed by the language of the plan. So if you can find your old plan book, there's probably a weird provision in there. You can look in the glossary about rebates, or if there's a they don't spend enough, what happens to that money? Now you say you got a letter, and this is what exactly what it says. I'm going to take your word for it. But if you could find that letter, you may have just tripped on something that not only could help you but other members of the plan. I'm not saying that that's a codified law. They may have a thing where if they don't spend enough in a year, then they put it back into the plan for premiums, and then they lower people's premiums the next year. So that's sort of speculative. But your wife's plan sounds like, it in this instance, like it's a pretty good plan. I don't know about your plan, but if you find the plan and you find that letter, forward it to me, and we'll see if that's some money you're entitled to or something else or
nothing.
Nothing. Or a class action suit. But it runs the gamut. I don't know that there is a regulation or a statute, a law that says if the plan doesn't pay by congressional order, they have to give you a dividend or something like that. I don't know that that's the case. Most of these plans, these health insurance plans, they're called ERISA plans, Employment Retirement Insurance Security Act of 1974 plans. The plan language governs, and that goes for all kinds of stuff, from subrogation on third parties when somebody hurts you and the plan pays for it, right down to something like this. What the plan says goes. That's one of the legacies, for better or worse, of Justice Scalia. He was there were four other people, but a 5-4 decision on this plan language stuff is one of the big battles of the early part of the 2000s. And so plan language governs. So find the plan. Find the letter, and I'll take a look at it, and we'll see. Maybe you've just stepped on an oil well like Jed Clampett, and maybe you just nothing.
He didn't step on his. He shot a hole in the ground.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I got my – I'm sorry, Beverly Hills. Hillbilly fans.
Brian, do you have Scott's email address?
I don't have it written down, and I'm not positive if I say it.
Well, just go take a shot at it. You may surprise yourself.
Scott Sherman.
No,
Law office at Scott
no.
Sherman.
No. Okay, you're not going to surprise yourself.
All right, I'll say it. Ready?
Yeah.
Law office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
Okay.
All right.
I'll have to see if I can go back and find the letter.
It should be something that, the letter, but the plan language, the plan book should be something that you can get from HR at your old place. Emailed to
you. Okay.
All right, Brian.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
And as he hangs up right now, there he goes. Line opens, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Betty is next. Betty, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Betty. How are you?
I'm good.
Very good.
I have a insurance question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
My niece was rear-ended while she was leaving a gas station.
In a vehicle, not personally.
I'm sorry. Yes, in a vehicle.
Okay.
And because she was thinking it was private property, she did not call the police.
Mm-hmm.
But she got pictures of his car on top of her car and his driver's license and his license plate. So she called his insurance company to make a claim, and this has been like a week or so. So the insurance company called her back and said they cannot get a hold of their client. He is not calling them back, so they cannot file a claim.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Capital letters, N-O-N-S-E-N-S-E. Nonsense.
Okay, and that's what I said, and I said tomorrow is Thursday, so I will try and get into Scott and Frank and see what they say.
First of all, Betty is one of my favorite names. That was my grandmother's name on my mom's side. So that's just beautiful.
Good story.
Second, thank you. Secondly, if you need some help with this, I would love to double barrel these bozos. I make claims all the time for clients of mine when their insureds don't do it. So even the injured party or the aggrieved party, like your granddaughter or your daughter, can make this. Or better yet, we'll help her with it. I'm not going to charge her for its property damage. She's not hurt, you know. Not hurt, right?
Right. No, not hurt. Just wants her car fixed.
That's too bad. But, you know, hey, in this instance, that's great.
And she didn't call the police, you said, because it was on
and
private
that's
property?
Actually, you know what? That's not a bad thought. Police do not have to make reports on private property. Now, I have had, especially in the city of St. Louis, some really good officers that have written reports at gas stations. I'm not going to say, I don't want to give publicity to one of the gas stations, the ones where the people that work there don't wear masks. It starts with a Q. But they came to that place and they wrote a report for a client of mine that got hit by an out-of-control car on the property of the gas station. But is it your granddaughter?
My niece.
Your niece. Your niece is absolutely right in her instinct that, I'm on private property. They're probably not going to do this because they don't have to on private property. They do it on open streets. Okay. They can do it on private property, and bless those that do because it's very helpful. The police are incredibly helpful in these situations, much more so than people realize or that they get
credit.
But
to get what is rightly coming to her.
This is one where somebody needs to call whatever this insurance company, I don't want you to say the name, but say, hey, look, bozos, we're making this claim. Here's a picture of your insured's a thing. I can do a little research, find out the name of the person. We're making the claim. Here, we'll help you. Here's their phone number. It's something that we've gotten
and
from our research.
And I think she gave them all of that.
That's right.
Said, this person is not answering their phone. Mm.
If this person, then they either weren't insured, they should then confirm if they were or weren't insured. Then if they're uninsured, Your niece would have two options. One, if she has collision coverage, she can eat the deductible for now, make the claim through her insurer, have them fix it up, and she's on her way, and then that insurer goes and subrogates, goes after the other person. Or we can also, if she does not have collision coverage or does not want to do
that.
If she does. We can also file anyway a Form 1140, which is free. Is this a Missouri thing?
Yes, Missouri,
okay.
St. Charles
Missouri,
County.
We have Form 1140. It's a free thing. We'd file it for her with the Department of Revenue and the pictures and the estimate that she'd have to go get and all the rest.
Complete auto body.
That's right.
Right.
And say, this bozo caused this much damage and suspend his driver, his or her driver's license unless they pay or prove insurance. And that way, you can get their driver's license suspended until they set up some payment arrangement. So,
and by the way, if she had that insurance, I think the insurance company would have said to Betty, I'm sorry, that person is not insured by us. Instead, they said, we can't get a hold of them.
Yeah. And, you know, my response would have been this. Do they or do they not have insurance on the date of that incident? Whatever day that was.
Okay.
That's an answer to that question.
She had photos of his car on top of her car with the license plate. Isn't that enough for the insurance company?
And his driver's license.
Well, they obviously know who he is because they can't get a hold of him. They tried, apparently, based on their response. Right.
And again, they have enough information that if the person were not insured, they'd have said, I'm sorry, that person doesn't have coverage.
And then some, you know, wiseacre lawyer that does stuff on Thursdays can send a letter. We call a pucker letter to that guy.
Let me explain something else here, Betty. I'm gonna assume you're over 50. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. They get somebody like Betty on the phone. They sort of sense maybe the name Betty. It's an older name. She's old. You'd be surprised, Betty, how many times they could pull this with, and it's a small percentage, but if it works. Bing, home run for them. They say something like, well, couldn't get a hold of them. You'd be amazed how many people go, oh, okay, and they shot, and they just roll over and go away.
Yeah, I don't care if you can't get a hold of them. Here, like Tim said, here are pictures of the front of his vehicle and the rear of my client's vehicle.
Exactly.
Now, the mistake is not that your niece assumed, and she did a good job with her assumption that it was likely the police would not come. But that's not a hard and fast rule. So if she ever gets rear-ended anywhere in a parking lot or something, call the police anyway.
Yeah.
Because they will get the information. Because here's what happens a lot of times. Somebody has the wrong plates on the car that doesn't belong to the VIN. Somebody gives you a driver's license that's not them. Somebody gives you an insurance card that's fake. And that happens more often than you would believe.
Yeah.
It happens a lot. So, even in St.
Charles. I remember Frank saying before, say, we don't know if anyone's hurt or not.
That's right.
Maybe hurt.
No, that is exactly right.
We never want anybody to say they're hurt when they're not.
No. Right.
But we also don't want something to show up later in the way of in the form of an injury that she wasn't aware of. Is that, look, I go back to a herniated disc that I had, and it was a serious, I'd have surgery for it. I didn't know I had a herniated disc until a week after the event. I felt fine. And then one morning I go to get up and I can't even stand up. It hurts so bad. Dan was on the trip where it happened to me. Mm-hmm. So you never say, nope, not hurt, because you may not know.
And don't play hero. Right. Think about this at that question. Do you feel exactly the same as you did the minute before it happened? Because some people, I'm not hurt. Well, hurt's a term of art. They're a little stiff, sore, whatever. And then I'll dovetail what Frank said. You never know what is actually has happened to you until sort of adrenaline wears off and things.
And if time goes by, enough time, reasonable amount of time, and she feels fine, then fine. We don't want anybody to fake. What I can't stand is this. Oh, my neck's killing me. The fake injury.
Yeah,
I hate that.
She just wants her car fixed.
Yeah.
Well, give us an email. Give me an email tomorrow, and we'll call you. We'll set something up.
Scott, here's the other thing. Betty just said something key. She wants her car fixed. You could go ahead and tell her to go ahead and get that done. And we get this resolved later with the insurance company, and they'll have to come back and reimburse her insurance company.
Is it drivable?
She doesn't have to wait about that.
Is it drivable, Betty, her vehicle, safely?
Yes.
Then go to Complete Auto Body and get an estimate. That's the way to rubber stamp it, because what I tell clients is, how do you know someone else isn't going to hit you tonight? Now you can't even prove what the damages are. So get the estimate, now we figure out who's going to ultimately... Either this person or their insurer is going to pay, but it's going to be a longer road than a day or two. It's just going to take some effort.
I will have her email you.
Now, Betty, do you know Scott's email address?
I do.
What is it?
Law Office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
No, I'm afraid not. You said law twice. She said law. She said law. Law office of Scott Sherman. She said law two times.
She paused and started over.
I know. I'm kidding. It's a joke.
Sorry, it's my first day.
I'm kidding.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Because Dan helped me.
Betty, you sound like a nice lady.
I am.
Tell your niece
nice.
I know you are. I can tell. Tell your niece everything is going to be just fine. Okay.
I will. Thank you so much, guys.
All right, Betty. Thank you.
Thank you.
See, I can read voices. She is a really nice person.
Yeah.
I can just hear it. And sometimes you can hear if somebody is just a bitch. You can hear that, too. Or if a guy is just an a-hole. You can just hear it.
That was not you, Betty.
No, I said you can tell when they are. She's not. I made that clear. There is a line open, and when it gets filled, that'll probably take us to the top of the hour. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Philip is next. Philip, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello.
Hi, Phil.
Yeah, I'm AM and the PM.
There you go. Hallelujah. What do you got?
Hey, I have some rental property in Alton, and I was thinking about putting one in the Airbnb. Is there any more responsibility or challenge with that than there is with rental property?
I'm sorry, you have what again?
He's got a rental property he wants to turn into an Airbnb.
What do you mean, is there any more what again?
Like
any more
responsibility
No, Scott, I would think there'd be less.
First, you have to make sure that the municipality that you live in
has
outlawed them, because I'm in that exact situation right now.
Yeah. Some places don't allow it. But my answer, Scott, would be no, there's no more.
Other than insurance, I don't see any laws in the way. And the other would be, what, if anything, have either the governors or the Madison County executive, what COVID-related restrictions have they put on it?
And what taxes do you have to pay as well? Some municipalities allow them, but they charge taxes that you're supposed to reimburse them with.
They haven't as of yet, we checked into it. We're going to have letters. You know, they want their money to send out letters to see if any neighbors oppose it.
Interesting. I didn't know. That's interesting.
Yep. And if one of them does, they have to go to court and say why they don't. And then we get to present our side of why we would be better than a rental property.
Everything is a hassle, isn't it? I mean, it is. Yeah. Everything is just a big deal anymore.
Well, rather. I would say this, Philip. Send me an email, and I'll run this by a real estate buddy of mine in Madison County and see what if they've handled this before. I don't want to say no, it's fine, but I just think that it's probably less problematic than the nightmare scenario. But it does have a few more restrictions than a general landlord-tenant situation when you're renting.
But there probably are some advantages, too, in going through Airbnb instead as opposed to doing it yourself.
Well, it's cheaper. Yeah. I mean, the reason the municipalities hate it is because somebody's going to rent a house. They're going to sign a 6-, 12-month lease or longer. An Airbnb could be for a weekend. A lot of municipalities rely on hotel room taxes for their financial well-being.
They're protecting their...
they're essentially competing with the hotels the municipalities collecting taxes from.
Okay.
They're protecting their hotel.
Exactly.
Gotcha. All right. Philip, do you have Scott's email address?
Yes. It's law office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
That's it.
Very good. I'll look into that for you.
We will email you and tell you what we know to this point.
Thank you. Good job.
Thank you, Philip.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for listening. Sir, was that for you or me, Scott? Sir.
You, because you are the person to whom the respect is owed.
What? I'll go with that.
Wait a minute. Can we vote on that?
Let's go to Judith. Now, see, I like this Judith. Not Judy, but Judith. I like that. Judith, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman, and thank you for taking my call. I am AM and the PM.
You and a million other people. What do you got, Judith?
Okay, I'm going to try to make this fast. In 2013, my husband passed away. 2008, my youngest son had an accident, and he became a quadriplegic.
Oh, shoot.
So anyhow, a bunch of his friends got together and had a fundraiser for him. And my husband, at the time, had taken this money, because they were trying to raise money to help them pay, like, for wheelchairs and other necessities.
Mm-hmm.
My husband at the time had made his brother the person in charge, the executor, I guess, or whatever it is. Okay, so then in 2000...
Was there
January,
a charity set up, Judith?
Yeah, there was a GoFundMe account.
Okay. Now, I have to do this. We got a minute and a half, so I want Scott to help you here. So go ahead.
Okay. 2002, my oldest son passed away, and one of his friends put on Facebook they wanted to raise money to fund the medical bills for Mike, myself, and living expenses. My son, the quadriplegic, passed away this past August.
Oh, my goodness.
My brother-in-law has taken all the money that was raised. They asked for $5,000. It ended up being $22,500.
Judith, have you contacted your local law enforcement?
You took it for himself.
Well, he's got the money, and I keep saying, who gave you the... Because I wasn't seeing any money, and I said, who gave you the right to take the money? He just keeps evading my questions, saying...
Yeah, well, he's a scumbag.
Yeah, it's embezzlement.
Yeah, he's a scumbag.
This is two things. One, in the community in which you live, you should talk to the police. No more talking to this guy.
All right, listen, you got a serious issue here.
And send me an email, because there's some civil stuff you can do all.
We're out of town, but you got a big problem with this piece of crap brother-in-law, or whatever it is. Scott will help you get this money. You have Scott... I'm so sorry we're out of time. You have Scott's email address.
Yes, I do. Office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
Please shoot him an email, Judith, okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
How about that piece of garbage?
Holy mackerel.
Quadriplegic son. Two sons die. Husband passes away. And this guy takes the $22,000 that was meant to help her and her family, and he's keeping it.
I wish she would have been the first caller.
I do, too. Oh, I do, too. I do, too. Yeah, my goodness, the world is full of, not full of, but there are plenty of bad people. Scott, thank you. Scott Sherman,
thank
everybody.
You, Frank.
We've done it again. We'll do it again next Thursday. See, that's why you want to get in early. And I'm with Tim. Boy, I wish we'd had more time with Judith. Whew, let's see. Yeah, look at this. It's time for the 5 o'clock hour and everything that goes with it, because it's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is locally owned 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. A spokesman for President Trump's campaign says the hearts of all Americans are breaking for the